Good. Hey, let me ask you this from a player's perspective. Mike and I were talking about it, right? The new phrase, the new verbiage that coaches and GMs can say because of the CBA when asked why a player is not on the ice is unfit to play. Do you think now you're outside of it, but of course you made a living playing it, that it's any need for media and or fans to know what's bothering a player?
Well, first and foremost, yeah, I agree that that is a fine terminology, but it's like I wake up this morning and I'm just going through my notes and all that, and it didn't take long for a gossip rumor to start in Vancouver about Brock, and I just shook my head because I remember me being there, and these rumors would come out of nowhere. You wonder where they started, how did they start, or whatever. So anytime you can protect the player for what's going on, I'm all for it. For Brock just to get back on the ice and deal with this nonsense rumors.
What do you
Just
know what? You brought that
but
up because, man, you had some stuff fired at you that was about family that was ridiculous too. What does it do to a player when Brock goes, really? Like, I can't be traded, that he beat this and
yeah, it hurts me to say this, but man, it puts a damper on players wanting to go to certain places because of bull comments with no backing or just rumors and all this kind of stuff. And it seems that it rears its ugly head a little bit more frequently in Vancouver, and I wish it would stop because they got something really good going on here right now. And for Brock just to get back and the first day it comes out that something this is going on, it's just like I relived a whole bunch of stuff I went through when there was just someone would start something or someone saw something or it would just come up. It'd be just like, oh my God, here we go again. Like, this is not what I signed up for. So it gets frustrating.
Let me ask you this, Todd. I know we had Berkey on the show last week, and we were just talking about players who insert no trade clauses into their contracts. And he says, without question, usually everyone you deal with, it's a no Canada clause. I don't want to play in Canada. That's the first seven cities they list. I mean, a lot of it's taxes, a lot of it's foreign country, et cetera, but you alluded to it. Is the fact
And a lot of it is
The
a lot of it
notoriety of a
is
hockey player playing in Canada and the focus on you,
yeah
is that part of the reasons
yeah
why players won't play?
yeah great question. It's unfortunately it's some people just don't want to deal with the pressure of playing a Canadian city. It definitely heightens up, especially with the amount of media coverage. You look in Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, you have the greatest player in Edmonton now. So, with what's going on with Vancouver and Winnipeg, it's just everything times 10, and some people just don't want to deal with it. They just want to go in and play hockey. And I think that's where maybe I handled my situation that way. So I kept it private. I didn't want to talk all the time. I didn't, it's the same questions over and over again. I can't switch it up, and it's like if this goes wrong, it's a lot. And I played in American cities where you have two or three. It's very cordial, it's nice, it's relaxed. But I thoroughly enjoyed playing at Canada. I loved it. It was right up my alley. It's what motivated our fans were incredible. But it does come with some baggage, and I know. These people sit at home and say, "Ah, you guys get paid these millions and millions, suck it up." Well, it's like me going to your office and starting rumors about you, and you just hear through the coffee machine that so and so is doing this or blah 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 blah. It just over time it gets really childish and tiresome. So I can see why Berkey did raise that up, and if anyone, Berkey would know. He's dealt with being in Toronto and being in Vancouver with European and American and also Canadian players.
Yeah, and pressure to win is one thing, and dealing with rumors to start what should have been an exciting day is another. Let me ask you, our poll question today is the fact that, when a player is missing in COVID-19, all they have to say is unfit to play. So, man, speculation. Well, is it a knee? Michael Ferland wasn't on the ice. Could it be a concussion? Brian ba Jim Benning kind of saying, well, no, we expect to have him back. Is it a need to know
Well,
basis? Do you think fans and media should know what's wrong?
Perry, during the regular season, you hear what goes on with majority of the time, correct, with the injuries. You are updated. You know what's going on. When playoffs come around, you don't know what body part it is. They can say shoulder. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not a shoulder. It's probably my left knee. But it doesn't get out there as much during the playoffs. What are they trying to do right now? They're going into a playoff situation, so they're protecting every single one. And rightfully so. What does it matter? What does it matter what I have? What does it really matter? I'm not on the ice, so something's obviously wrong with me. So who cares? Like, I could have a freaking broken toe, or I could have a broken pinky, or just be sick, or could be suffering through anxiety and panic attacks, have something else other than a blown out knee or whatever. What does it matter? Who cares? I'm not on the ice. I'm not on the ice for a reason. I don't think anyone really needs to know why or why not.
I would say this, and you love the NFL too.
Well, that's just protecting the betting people, though. That's the gambling side of all that, and that's what it's protecting, so people know what they're trying to do. But for me as an athlete, what does it matter, Perry, why I'm out? I'm out for a reason, because I'm hurt. Other than that, I'd be on the ice all the time. Doesn't matter if I got a concussion. That's my personal life. I don't ask you why you didn't show up to work last week. And me and Seaball.
Yeah, but the fact is, if you're getting into bed with Las Vegas and betting, I need to know, because if I'm going to bet on the Minnesota Wild to beat the Canucks, and I know that Pedersen's unfit, and I know the unfit means he blew at his knee, then I'm going to make a decision. And if you're going to start going this way, Bert, which the NHL is, you're going to have to start disclosing that, because now you want my money, then you got to be honest with me.
That's exactly what I just said, Per. I actually said it the exact same way. It is the gambling. The gambling, the people want to know what's going on. There's so many millions at stake. And if you're going to get in bed with gambling and with Vegas, well, then, yeah, things have to be disclosed, because that's the integrity of betting. You have to know what you're betting on in order to do it. And I kind of disagree with that, because it's my own personal life, what's going on. You don't need to know what I got or what's going on with me. That's how I feel on it. I've always felt that way.
Let me ask you this question. You told us last week that given this current situation, if you were there, you'd likely choose not to play if given that option, and a number of players have chosen that option. Given what's happened over yesterday, we had 9 players from the Penguins not going to the first day of camp with possible secondary exposure to the virus, 3 Montreal Canadian players testing positive that we know of. Does that only just confirm your thoughts you gave us last week that you wouldn't participate in this?
Yeah. Mine goes differently also to it. And I've discussed it before. And, you know, whoever wins the Stanley Cup in this tournament format, they win the Stanley Cup. That's great. I'm happy for them. But me growing up, the Stanley Cup was about going through the 82-game schedule and going through all the rounds and the pain and suffering, seeing those old guys with bags of ice in their head, having a beer afterwards. Like, that's what I consider. I just consider this a different Stanley Cup, and I'm not going to take it away from the team that wins it. I'm just saying it's different. So I look at it differently that way. That's how I look at it. So, and plus, if I have kids, I don't want to expose my family to this. And it's already bad enough going around and spreading like wildfire. I don't want to expose my kid to it. So selfishly and unselfishly, I'm going to opt out to protect my family. And I'm also leaving my family, because there's no better family in the world than the hockey family. I'll tell you right now, your teammates and your people, you want to be with these people. But when your career's over and all that, yeah, you do have a handful of people that you stay in contact, you consider good friends, but you don't have the 20, 30, 40, 50 that you played on with four or five other teams. People just move on, man. It's all you have left is your family when it's all over.
Todd Bertuzzi joining us on this Tuesday morning. Let me ask you this from a player perspective. Certainly here in Vancouver, and most of the press conferences that I listened to yesterday, coaches, GMs, hey, man, that was a really good pace. I was surprised. We're fast, but we're ready to go. They tell us that, and you were there. Can these guys come out of the gate and play like it is game one in the playoffs if they just finished 82 games after a four-month break?
Yeah, they're going to be fresh. And not only fresh, they're going to be excited. They've already all just had their summer. They just had 2 months. How much total time off they've had? 2 or 3?
Oh, it'll be by the time they play in August, it'll be 4.
Okay, well, then it's 4. So
Bert, are your hands as good in the first game as they are in the second?
Oh, yes. There's tons. Hey, these guys are rich, man. They have, their houses are compounds. They have stuff in there. Like, I know for a fact over here, I know that when they got back working out, but we have roller rinks here that people have been rolling. I've seen hockey players going up and down the street on the rollerblades here, and it's all it is a mindset. If you're not in your proper environment and you have to adapt, it's a mindset you have to put yourself in that, hey, listen, I'm going to do caveman workouts. Like, I'm going to lift cinder blocks, or I'm going to sprint up the streets and all this stuff. They're world-class athletes, and if anything, they're going to be fresher than anything, and especially having a 2 week to get themselves ready, or 3 weeks, whatever it is, because I believe it's the date's going to get pushed back when they start. That's my opinion. And they're just going to be even more sharp, even fresh. And when they do get back, I think it's going to be a ridiculous pace that they're playing at.
Let me ask you this. You're a little concerned all this hockey is going to cut into your golf game. I think they got 5 games a day starting on August the 1st. I mean, that's a lot of hockey to watch.
Yeah, you know what? That's gonna be for enough for everyone to get over what's been going on and missing all of sports. I think it's gonna be pretty freaking cool, to be honest with you. You're gonna have afternoon games. You're gonna have them running. I think it's five sometimes, four sometimes. I went over the scheduling and all that. I think it's awesome. I think it's gonna be great for gatherings, small gatherings still, but with having your buddies around and all that, it almost it's gonna have that feel of, because I've had it a couple times where I didn't get into the playoffs, or I got knocked out in the first round or second round, and then coming back to Kitchener, and then all my buddies, 30 of my buddies, watching the two playoff games back to back. Just the atmosphere and amount of fun and excitement we're watching these playoff games, and with the weather being so beautiful out, how can you not sit back, crack a handful of cold ones, and watch five NHL games with the best athletes in the world?
It's going to be exciting, but let me ask you this, and I don't know how often you talk to your nephew Tyler, but how must it suck for an NHL player who's not in it to know they've got another 4 months? You waited 4 months, now people are jacked up, and you don't get to play again for probably another 4 months in December.
Yeah, you want to right the ship as soon as possible, but at the same time, if you're coming off just a horrendous season, you want as much time to lapse so everyone forgets how horrendous the season was. And you're going to come back with a new commitment. They're going to start probably skating a lot earlier than they possibly were before. I know the Red Wings are on top of their prospects right now, and their other players making sure that they're doing. I spent a lot of time with Dylan Larkin here. He is more motivated than ever. I can see the fire in his eye. He's takes off to this place to go training in the mountains somewhere, and then does this. So no, I think if anything, it's going to give them a little bit of their own city and town, a little bit of breathing room for how bad they are. And obviously, with the draft going to be coming up right after that, start shooting some excitement back into it, and in no time they'll be back playing.
Todd Bertuzzi joining us here on the starting lineup at 7:16 on Tuesday morning. A question for you, Todd. Players obviously playing in empty buildings. I mean, a two-prong question. I mean, playing in an empty building, what is it like for a player? And have you ever performed at a high le in a high-level game where the building has been empty in any over the course of your career, whether it was amateur or professional?
Yeah,
The Florida games.
yeah. Well, I was gonna say that, but I hate passion because I actually loved the rink there. I thought it was awesome. I remember my first couple games playing there, and it was pretty packed. I've gone there as a visitor, and it's empty. It's always nice playing in front of 20,000 screaming fans and all that, but when the puck drops, you focus on your task at hand and what you kind of do, and it does get a little bit kind of a little bit quieter on the bench, and but the sport is so fast and exciting and so physical. I think that makes up for them not having people in the stands. I've also been to world championships and seen us play some of the smaller countries and have some of the smaller crowds and all that kind of stuff. So it happens. We're prepared. We played junior hockey where we played in front of 4,000 people. So these guys just want the puck drop, and they know what they're playing for, man. There's going to be passion like you couldn't believe, and excitement. So I'm really rooting for things to go well, and for the health for the players.
Okay, I'm going to give you two teams, and this is just random, hypothetical, but you've got a team with an average age of 24 and a team with a little more experience and an average age of 29. What would you want in a tournament like this?
Yeah, both. That's not the, if you're going to the 30s, then I'll kind of leak down towards the 20s. That's too close of an age gap. And these are some tight matches. I honestly think I'm gonna call an upset. I actually think the Blue Jackets are gonna upset Toronto.
Really?
Wow.
So if you're looking for me to come out and say anything, that's probably. I'm just looking through all of it and all this kind of stuff. I can see just John Tortorella squeezing a victory over Toronto in this, and then obviously if that happens, Toronto gets put into the NHL draft, and man, wouldn't
Then
that
they
be
get the
crazy?
number.
They end up with the first number one pick.
But Bert, do you say that because you don't believe in the young talent that Toronto has and maybe the ability to fight through things?
I'm just basing it. I love the way Toronto plays. I love their team. I love their forwards. I love Matthews, obviously, Nylander. Tavares is just, he's a hockey robot. I love Mitch Marner. I love their players. I love their flow. I love how they play. They play a little bit of Globetrotter hockey, like back when the West Coast Express was cruising the ice at the Rogers Centre. It reminds me a lot of that, how their style of play is. I just don't know in a short tournament with how defense-oriented and how tough Columbus plays, if that's going to be, and it being 5 games, man, I tell you right now.
Yeah.
Is it 5 games or seven? Five, right? The first?
No, best of play is best of five.
Okay, that would scare me. So that's why I'm saying I'm just going to go up there on my own, and I'll bet you Perry a pint that the Jackets upset Toronto.
Wow. Well, I'd like to see it, but I'm not so sure.
The play-in
Sure, I
rounds,
love
obviously, they're intriguing. All the matchups seem intriguing. But Todd, how much are you going to watch the round robin of the Boston, Tampa, St. Louis? I mean, nobody's being
I guess,
eliminated. It's
well,
simply a
yeah,
seeding thing.
yeah, I know that's just a seeding thing. Probably less. I think the initial hockey back is going to rival everything up. And then when you find out that the next round is the seeding round, we're all going to still watch. Don't kid yourself. It's 6 or 8 o'clock at night. There's not much on TV. I'm sick and tired of all the reruns I've been watching. I love the Discovery Channel. I've been killing that right now, and it's been awesome. But if you got a chance to put on a hockey game just for seating and all that, no, people are going to watch us. They're just looking for professional sports. And in my opinion, we have the greatest sport in the world and the fastest sport and the toughest sport. So there's going to be a lot of people tuning in. It might be a great chance for us to grab some new fans.
As possible. Have you watched the Netflix series Home Game?
Yes, I did. And I also
Oh, did
watched
you?
another one that's good. Hey, you people out there, watch the show called on Netflix called Losers.
Yes, I've watched that. The Jean
Cool.
Vandeveld to relive that is like what he did on Eight
Yeah,
is
I
so
for
creepy.
me, it was the it was the it was some of the other ones, man. I thought it was incredible stories. Just about
Yeah.
perseverance and getting through things, and them end up being like that lady who did the Iditarod. Wow, man, she
Yeah.
battled year after year, second nine. That race is as tough as they come, and she competed and did it with integrity. I really loved watching that episode, but other than that, I'm
Yeah.
getting bored now. So let's get this freaking going.
Okay, well, you can watch Tiger this week. Hit him straight as you always do. Greens and regulations, my friend. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, I'm off to tea time right now, boys. Enjoy the rest of the show and be safe.